You know, last Wednesday night I talked about steadfast faith in the last days, and I referred to a scripture in 1 Timothy 4:1 said, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctors of demons." And I just was encouraging you to stay strong in faith. And, you know, it's not unusual that the enemy will try to trick you up. Remember John the Baptist, whenever Jesus came to be baptized by him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." But just a few years later, he was in prison. And he sent two of his disciples, and you can find that in chapter 7, verse 20. He sent two of his disciples to ask the Lord, "Are you really the Messiah, or should we look for somebody else?" Okay? I'm not reading it. I'm just going to paraphrase it there for you. So if John the Baptist could be tempted in his faith, well, stands to reason the enemy can do us the same way, because we're no different. You know, so I want to continue here. And I talked about the fact that we develop our faith, and in the bad times, in the good times, and in the in-between times, we keep our faith. And so actually, you make a decision to stay in faith. It's your decision. Paul encouraged Timothy to stir up his own faith and not get shipwrecked like some of them did. You can read that in Paul's writings. He talks about that. In fact, in 2 Timothy 1:5-6, he says, "I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is also in you. Therefore, I remind you, stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands." Now, in these last days, it's going to take faith to live victoriously. We've got to stir up our faith and trust in Him. You may, in these last days, you may have to stand strong in faith when even some of your close friends and other people start giving in to the enemy. We may not realize it, but we have, over a period of time, we have been gradually, the enemy has been eroding, until now society is accepting things that are utterly ridiculous, that are against what the Word of God says. Hello? You know, if I can find it real quick, I want to read that over there. And I wasn't intending to do this, but it just came to me, so I'm going to do it, okay? All right. Here we go. Where are we at? Oh, there it is. All right. Let's go to, I believe it's the Message translation. Romans 12:1-2 in the Message says, here's what I want you to do. God is helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering, embracing what God does for you. What God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Now, here's what I wanted to get to. That's that second verse. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your eyes and attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what He wants from you and quickly responding. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out in you and develops well-formed maturity. What I'm referring to is that over a period of time, our society has become eroded with all through television and everything else, until even the church, like the scripture said, don't become so well adjusted that you, hello, in these last days, it's going to take faith to live victoriously. Some people say, well, I just don't understand what's going on. Well, you ever read the Bible? The Bible says in the last days, it's going to get worse and worse. Said it'll be like it was in the days of Noah. Go study and find out what it was like in the days of Noah, just like these days today. We have to stir up our own faith, keep ourselves stirred up in God by being in the Word. You know, some people always waiting for a feeling. Well, I just don't feel like it right now. Or some people are waiting for a leading from the Lord. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. You're not waiting on the Lord. The Lord's waiting on you to do what the Word of God says. You know, as we begin to get into this, we need to realize that people are saying, well, God's in control. Okay, which God are they talking about? Because Paul explicitly says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the devil is the god of this world. Doesn't it? How many of you read that in there? Well, at least a few of you have. The rest of you, go read it. The God of this world is in charge, not the God. Because when Adam sold out in the Garden of Eden, the devil got control of what God had created. That's why when we're born again, it says we are born again, recreated. Hello? Some people say, just a sinner saved. No, you are recreated spiritual being. Recreated spiritual being. You see, the Most High God is in control. When someone puts their faith and trust in Him and in this Word, He is in control. But that's for us to control what goes on around us. If you ever travel in some of these foreign countries, when you go into that country, you can feel the oppression of the enemy. Anybody ever traveled and you ever, because you see, the devil hates God and everything that has to do with God. Well, that Your spirit has been recreated by God, and the spirit lives inside of you. Isn't that what the Bible says? What? Know you not that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? Isn't that what Paul says? And so immediately there's this. Hello? But did you know that you have the right to control what happens around you, even in one of those places? Hello? Dad, you just got back from Kenya. Hey, have you ever felt this in any places? Absolutely. Yeah. There's his wife, Catherine. Catherine, you've been to Kenya. In fact, y'all are in charge of Raymond Kenya, you and Vidar. Have you ever felt that as you went into certain places there? Yes. Why? Because the devil has control of this world and he's doing everything he can to destroy. That's what his mission is. Kill, steal, and destroy. Isn't that what it says in John 10:10? And in fact, the Word of God talks about that, and in fact, we read it here, that especially says some would depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. In another place, in the Gospels there as you're reading, it says even the elect will be deceived. I can see some of that happening today. I've seen some people that once were strong in faith are now, they're going the opposite direction. They're going along with the world. Hello? I mean, y'all getting quiet, but it's time that somebody begins to speak up and begins to speak to the church about the fact that we have got to maintain our strong faith. We can't have let the enemy destroy us. He is trying to destroy anything that has anything to do with God. It started out when he was the archangel, probably in charge of the music, and if you study theology, and he had a coup up in heaven, and a third of the angels went with him, and they tried to overthrow God. God kicked him out. Kicked him down to the earth. Go read it. You can read it there. And Isaiah said, I saw him falling from heaven and like lightning. Come on. Anybody ever read that over? Yeah. And so he is against God and anything that has to do with God. And he is working earnestly, because he understands his time is short. If you study eschatology and the Word of God, you can just read and you can see what's happening in the world today in different areas of the world. You can see that the time is short. How short? I don't know. Nobody does. But one of these days, there's going to be a trumpet sound. And the death, and Jesus is going to come in the clouds of glory. Now, it's not the second coming. That's just the rapture. We call it the rapture, the catching away of the church. Because when he comes the second time, he comes down here and he utterly destroys the devil. But yeah, I'm not going to get into teaching on eschatology, which I can. I've studied it, but you see... we don't need to get caught up with that, because the enemy then will get you so caught up in that, you'll lose out over here. We need to stay a hold of the fact that, hey, we've got to stay in the Word and we got to stay strong with God, because we're not going to be here when all that junk takes place anyway. The church is going to be taken out. But all you got to look and see is what's going on over in the Middle East. You go look and you can see all of that. Iraq and Iran and all of that, that's the old Babylonian Empire. And Syria is still there, and Syria was a thorn in the side of the Jewish nation going all the way back into the Old Testament. Hello, you there? And these things are happening in the world today, and many Christians are getting a little, hey, relax. God is still God. Jesus is still Jesus. Hang on to your faith. Hold on. Be strong. Don't let anything, anybody, get you off course. The enemy wants to destroy. Am I right or wrong? You know, Jude tells us to earnestly contend for the faith, which it actually 1:3, Jude 1:3, contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Contend for the faith. If you're contending something for something, that means you're fighting for it. Am I right or wrong? Either physically or with your prayer life, or, you know. Hey, you know, the basic English Bible says, go on. fighting strongly for the faith which has been given to the saints once and forever. That's the basic English Bible translation of what I read you there. See, go on fighting strongly. And what does Paul tell us? Fight the good fight of faith. Hello? Using your faith is a decision that you make. Come on. No one can make that decision for you. I don't care who you are. See, my dad, who is known as the modern-day prophet of faith, he couldn't make that decision for me. I can't make that decision for my wife or my kids or anybody else. Each person has to know what the Word of God says, study the Word, and then make their own decisions. Did you know as long as you're born again, you can go to heaven whether you ever use your faith or not? Hello? That's the truth. You can go to heaven sick, broke, tired, wore out. Or you can take the Word of God and live the good life. Hello. Some of you look at me funny. Everyone is on their own. God has no grandchildren or great-grandchildren. He only has children. That means we, each individual, has to make that commitment themselves. You know, one of the Gospels, it says, when Jesus comes back, will he find faith? Well, I asked you, when Jesus comes back, will he find faith in you? See, we've got to stand steadfast in these last times in our faith. 1 Corinthians 13:16 says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. The NLT says it like this, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous and be strong. Be on guard. That's what I'm trying. That's why I'm talking to you the way I'm talking to you. I want you to be on guard. It's easy to take advantage of someone if they're not on guard. If they're not on guard means being aware of what's going on around them. Now, some of the guys in this room have played on a football field. And some injuries happen after the whistle is blown to stop the play, because they get hit with a late hit and they wasn't tense. They weren't ready for it. Our coach used to say to us, he said, never relax until you're in the huddle with your guys. Even walking back to the huddle, always be aware that somebody could cold cock you. That's what he called it anyway. In other words, be ready. You know, I never had to go in under real fighting fire conditions. We were fired up on one time, or when I was on the island of Kamoya. Anyway, they fired on us. They were firing from over, it was a rasping fire, you call it. But when I was in training, and we were doing hill assaults, or you are walking through the brush or whatever you're doing, and you're not standing there, oh, look at that, look at that. No, you're aware. You're on guard. How many military guys I got in here? Is that right or wrong? When you're even in training, because they are training you to always be ready. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. I walk into a restaurant or any place I walk into. What is the first thing I do, hon? Look around. What am I doing? I am looking for ways of escape if needed. And in a restaurant, if I don't have to, I never like to sit with my back where I can't see the door. Any other military guys like that? I got some hands. When you're trained, you just do it automatically. You think about those things, you know. If I'm up here and somebody comes in that door back there and I hear a shot, I'm not going to start running. First place I'm going to do is get behind this thing. And then I'm going to look to see where it's coming from. And you should, if you're out there, you should get behind the seat. And then you look and see where you can go to escape. Hello? Because there's enough people out there that are military trained that could take them down, but they can't take them down if everybody's in the way. But be on guard all the time. React. When the enemy, I'm talking about when the enemy comes in, be on guard, be ready. Oh, everybody, they've been praising, oh, glory to God, great service, you know. Whoa, hallelujah, and the Lord, and the devil hits them up beside the head because they wasn't ready. Be ready all the time. You know, when was it? It was a few years ago. Some of y'all maybe, I think it was on Sunday morning. A guy made the stage over here. Anybody here that Sunday morning when the guy made the stage? And some people said, you charged him and said, get off his stage. I told him, get off the stage. I said, yeah, I'm going to take advantage. The person that takes control is the one that's in charge, has a better chance of winning. I wasn't going to stand here and wait till he got to me. I didn't know what he was going to do, but I'm going to go to him because I know what I can do because I've been trained. I've been trained in some hand-to-hand combat. Hello? Hey, we are trained in the Spirit. How do we fight in the Spirit? With our mouth, using our tongue to quote the Word of God that's sharper than any two-edged sword to destroy the works of the enemy. Now, you can't control other people, but you can control what goes on around you. That's what I'm talking about. Be on guard. Stand fast. Be ready. Be aware. You know, Peter said it in another way, but he said, I'm going to read the NLT from 1 Peter 5:8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. Now, what Peter is trying to tell people here is that you're no different than anybody else. The main trick of the enemy is to tell you that, hey, nobody else has ever faced anything like you're facing. He's telling you, hey, others are doing it. Stand firm, stand strong, be alert, be ready for the enemy. Hey, When the enemy says, your faith isn't working, why are you listening to him? He's a liar, the Bible says he is. Actually, when he tries to tell you your faith's not working, it's probably a pretty good sign that it is working, and he's trying to get you to quit believing so it will quit working. Hello. The enemy wants you to think that way. You see, there's a little book out there in the bookstore called Right and Wrong Thinking, written by a guy by the name of Kenneth Hagin, but Kenneth E. Hagin, not Kenneth W. Hagin. That's me. And he says, right thinking produces right believing, and right believing produces right results. Wrong thinking produces wrong believing and produces disastrous results. Hello? Anybody ever heard him teach that? I sort of paraphrased it in my own language. He said it a little different, but I said it the way I would say it. The enemy knows that if he can separate you from your faith, he can get between you and God and stop your blessings and stop your prayers from being answered. Anybody getting anything what I'm saying tonight? I'm not saying anything that y'all haven't heard. Okay? Because I'm sitting here looking at a bunch of faith people. But you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to do what Paul told Timothy, stir up. Stir up, that's what's on the inside of you. It's no surprise that Satan will challenge you. He'll challenge you. But when he does, if you're ready, you can stop him at the door. You know, there is no such thing as anybody having great faith if they hadn't had a great challenge. Have you ever seen a victory without a fight? That may be on the football field or the baseball field or maybe this way, but there's never a victory unless you have overcome the challenge that's in front of you. Hello? Life is full of challenges. And I don't care who you are, I don't care how long you've been saved, how long you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, I don't care how many times the Lord has blessed you, you're still going to have challenges. The only way you're ever going to get out of challenges is to get out of this world. Of course, y'all have heard me tell this. That one man come up and told my dad, Brother Hagin, pray for me that the devil quit bothering me. And my dad just looked at him, and you got to know my dad. Some people thought they knew him, but he sort of looked at him in that way that he has. And he said, you want me to pray that you die? I'm dead serious. You see, as long as we're in this world, the enemy is going to challenge us. What are you going to do when challenges face you? I'm trusting that I'm able to stir up your most holy faith tonight, because your life depends on it. Your kids and grandkids' lives depend on it. So, get out of Facebook and get your face in the book. Hello. You understand what I mean. You know, too many people wait till they have a problem and then they dust the Word of God off and start trying to find something. A lot of people haven't picked up their Bible since the last trial they faced. You know, hey, every day. It's an every day. Our fight is to fight the good fight of faith by believing and speaking. You know, James says that a person that's wavering between two things, you know, some people are staggering around, you know. One day they're over here believing God. The next day they're, oh, what am I going to do? And then you see them again. Oh, yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. I just had a blessing. And the next day you see them and their face is so long, they're about to step on their bottom lip. Hello. We don't live by feelings. We don't live by what we see. We live only by what we believe. We call those things that are not as though they are. So don't let the devil or anybody else or some unbelieving person with their opinions talk you out of what the Word of God has to say. I was watching television here the other night, and I was just flipping channels, and I stopped on one of the channels. I don't even know which one it was. And some, they were talking, and then this one person said, well, let me tell you what I think about this. They're talking about the Bible. There's two or three people there. What difference does it matter what he thought about it? Or somebody said, this is the way I got it figured out. Hey, it says it right here. God said it. He meant what he said and said what he meant. That's it. So, tonight, I encourage you. Open your mouth and begin to speak the word. You know, I don't know what you're dealing with. You don't know what I'm dealing with. But we all deal with stuff. And it's up to us to move forward with our faith. Some of you may remember this old song, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on Canaan's tableland, a higher plane than I've found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. How many of you want to go to higher ground? Then use your faith to get you there. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you right now. I talk to these people tonight just to stir them up in things that they already know. But Father, sometimes we need to be reminded of some things and get refired and get excited again about the faith life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Everybody stand. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Did I stir you up again and get you back? You know, sometimes as we go along, we sort of lose that fervency that we first had when we got a hold of the faith message. If you happen to be in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, we'd like for you to know him like we do. If you're here and you know what it is to serve him, but you know you're not where you need to be with him and you need to rededicate your life, are you here and you know you're born of the Spirit, but you'd like to be filled with the Spirit? According to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, the Spirit gave them utterance. Or if you need prayer for anything, the ladies are here, the men are over here. As we're dismissed, if you'll come to the front, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Amen? Hey, I think we had a first-time guest with... You get that first-time guest and take them to get a special gift that we have for them. And if you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. Come on, join us. We have a great time serving God around here. Hey, Sunday morning right here, it's July the 3rd, right? And the next day is July the 4th. Now, we're going to have Sunday morning service, but next Sunday night, we are going to dismiss the Sunday night service. Somebody said, oh, I don't know. Hey, it don't hurt every once in a while to enjoy life. Just be here on Sunday morning, okay? All right. Shake hands with somebody. Say, I'll see you Sunday right here. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front right now. They will minister to you. God bless.